Hey, Chris, you there? Chris?
I'm here.
It's just me. Are you guys coming back?
Everybody's coming back
Yeah.
in the room.
Yeah.
Everybody's in
Hang
the
around.
room.
Hang on,
Okay.
Sam. We'll get to you.
Okay.
We'll get to
You
you
should be in.
sometime
No,
today.
okay, let me let you in.
Tough case.
Suzanne's and Tommy, I gotta admit. Okay, where's Suzanne? She needs co-host.
I think we're missing somebody.
Vernon.
Right.
We have the Oi twin from Kauai.
Darlene, are you checking with Mr. Char?
Yes. I hear it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Check. Maybe you have to turn it off and turn it back on.
No. So can I just.
Vernon is changing computers.
Suzanne, right now, do we have a bunch of people from the public also on this call, on this Zoom? Can't hear you.
Yes.
Okay, yes. All right, thank you.
We have two people who were signed up to give testimony and were not able to connect before, and so we're going to have them provide testimony before the person. Very good. Okay, I think we are ready. Darlene, do you want to, are you ready and we can turn on the YouTube?
Yes, I'm turning on the YouTube. Yes, Tony. Okay.
Tell me when it's live.
Okay, Tommy, let me get you back in. Okay, let me try. Okay, waiting.
Waiting?
Yep, we're still waiting for it to load up.
Good, all right. I'm renaming everybody to say DBL.
It's going.
Okay, we're live on YouTube.
Yes, I have to just let Tommy back in. He got himself out. Did you try to log back in? Okay. Bye. Okay, we're waiting on Tommy. He's trying again to get back in.
Darlene, can you confirm the link on YouTube?
Hey, you're still having a hard time. Okay, why don't you go verbal, I mean audio, hold on. He's gonna go by phone.
Okay. Darlene, can you just double check the YouTube link though?
I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, it's not showing up on YouTube yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's showing live on my side, live on YouTube, and at the bottom it's also showing live. More. That's it, Tommy. Frank is trying to make it work.
Okay, I think it's working now. Okay, we are back from lunch and executive session. When we broke, there were two people who had signed up to provide oral testimony who weren't able to connect, and so they are here now. So I'm going to be calling on them, Charlie Fasano first, and then Mike Nakachi.
Okay.
Please proceed. And for the purposes of the YouTube, we have all the board members on video except for one. Mr. Oi is on audio right now. All right, thank you, Mr. Fasano. You wanna go ahead?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, my name is Charlie Fasano. I'm the current regional director for Hawaii for the Shark Research Institute. I've also been a reef restoration scientist prior to this for the NOAA Southeast Fishery Science Center in Miami. And I am a recent induction into the Explorers Club. I wanted to take my 3 minutes today just to bring up three topics that were not brought up earlier in this morning's session. The first one being, I wish to address the gentleman who, pertaining to the cultural aspect of the EIS, his statement earlier saying that history has shown that when science is involved, Hawaiian culture supports it. I don't see, after last year's example of the TMT, the 30-meter telescope, how this statement holds any water. As a matter of fact, he neglected in the EIS to mention anything about the TMT and that cultural aspect. There isn't one single 30-meter telescope mentioning, even if you hit control find, you won't even see telescope in the EIS. So I want to ask him why this was omitted from the EIS. The only two reasons I could see is that it was purposely omitted because it doesn't support their statement, or he just did a really lousy job and left it out. If there's a third reason, I'd be happy to listen to it. The second aspect I'd like to talk about, second point, is the value of the reef. We have not mentioned the economic value of the reef yet in this. The last, from what I understand, the last assessment was in 2007, where the reef, the value of the reef for the state of Hawaii is $275 million. This was presented by DAR and Dr. Bill Walsh at the International Year of the Reef Conference, 2008. When I asked Dr. Walsh at a meeting at DAR in end of last summer, he says that there isn't currently an assessment being done right now. So I'd like to know what the overall state value of the reef is. And this also lends to the fishing industry. Is it positive or negative on the impact of the financial value of this reef? Does this industry, does it have a negative or positive impact on the value of the reef? And what is that percentage of the impact on the overall reef? So that's the second point. I hope maybe an overall statewide assessment of the value of reef can be reached. The third and last point I want to state is, as a reef restoration science, now, our coral reefs are on life support right now. After the 2015 and last year's bleaching events, our reefs are healing. They are not nowhere near as strong as they used to be just 10 years ago or 20 years ago when Kim mentioned these first studies. I want to correlate this with something that's very topical today. Think of the reef right now as being a COVID patient on life support. If that COVID patient says that I need 50% oxygen and I'll be healed in 1 week, but the data says, well, if you only give him 40% oxygen, he'll be healed in 2 weeks. Well, are you going to let him suffer an extra week just to save 10% oxygen? My point is, these fish that we are using are the medical tools. They are our medical apparatus that we use to recover and restore and help the reef after the bleaching events. These fish that are collected in the aquarium industry are our tools. They are nature's tools and they are science tools. We have other anthropogenic tools that we could use, but there's nothing more important or will have more impact than nature's natural tools in its recovery. And by allowing this industry to continue to take the fish off of our reef, we are weakening the integrity of that tool. And our reef does not need that right now. It needs to be fully recovered before we could think about removing any of these tools. Members of the board, thank you for my time today. And I apologize for the technical difficulties from this morning. Mahalo and aloha.
Thank you. Next up is Mr. Nakachi.
Aloha all. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Appreciate the time, Chair Case. My name is Mike Nakachi. I come from the Ahupua of Southern Kohala in the Kaha lands of Waikoloa. And I'm coming to you because I've heard a lot of different things today, but I think what we're always forgetting about is place, sense of place. Again, we're not in Florida, we're not in California, we're talking about Hawaii. And I know who I am and I know where I come from. And my kupuna and ancestors have always dictated traditional and customary practice of Malama Aina to make things momona again. The state, DLNR, DAR, DOCARE are the konoiki of our resources. Okay, I'm not here to pick on anyone, but the system is broken. And the only way we're talking about different things, you are forgetting about spiritual value for Kanaka. You're forgetting about a lot of different things that this draft or this final EIS did not address. Out of the 52 people that were culturally impact statement, over 50 of them disagreed with this particular practice. We're talking about a commercially permitted activity that is extractive of our resources and really only benefits a few, and it outweighs the needs of many. And as a practitioner, there is no Malama Aina in this particular industry, and there is no application of making things momona. We can talk science, we can talk a lot of different things, But again, this is a pay-to-play system that you guys are going to be voting on. And there are many other collectors that may not have agreed with this particular system and not a part of this process. And they are likely in the same view that they don't want to see this continue. And West Hawaii needs time to recuperate. And then we're dealing with 155 miles of leeward coastline that makes it ideal for people to extract. Appreciate your time. And again, malama aina, aloha aina.
Thank you very much. All right, I believe that concludes all of our oral testimony. And we're going to move to deliberation here now. Board members, how would you like to proceed?
Could I ask Brian Nielsen a question? I'm sorry, I should have asked this before, but can I ask him a question now?
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm here, Chris. Member Ewan.
There's a publication that's highly relied upon that talks about the sustainable yield being 5 to 25%. Can you comment on that? Is that used generally in making management decisions for reef fisheries, or is it something used only in one location?
Yeah, fisheries are, in terms of setting limits for fisheries, in Hawaii, typically we rely on stock assessments. For example, the bottom fishery relies on an annual catch limit. The challenge with our reef fisheries is a big portion of the take is non-commercial, so we don't have good estimates for the catch to be able to perform species-specific stock assessments for reef fisheries. So we do generally need to rely on population trends. NOAA did conduct a stock assessment of reef fisheries just using what data we do have. Data limited fisheries that did provide some insight on how the populations are doing, but that was at a statewide level, not necessarily a regional or even island level. But coming up with these rules of thumb, is a way to manage the fishery, but you need to have good data to be able to make those determinations. And I'd also just mention that I don't think the EIS is the right tool for the job to coming up with these type of detailed management prescriptions. I think there's other ways we need to manage our fisheries other than EIS in order to set annual catch limits or bag limits, restrict harvest. I think there's other management tools that would be more appropriate than an EIS. I think that it just isn't the right tool for the job.
All right, thank you. Are we in deliberations then?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Unless there are no more questions.
Well, I'm going to make a motion to disapprove, and if I get a second, I'll go into discussion and reasons.
I'll second for the purpose of discussion. Did you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me start because I made the motion. I have to say, I think the EIS was professionally done. The people involved in preparing it gave very good and responsive answers today. The EIS was very well done in many parts of it. I also don't fault DAR for recommending approval of this final EIS. I think that they did a good job analyzing it and matching it up against the standards for acceptance of an EIS. But in my final analysis, I feel that the project, one of the important parts of an EIS is to match is to describe the project. And in this case, the describing the project requires some assessment of the ultimate catch limits and potential, not an overall and for the individual species. And it bases its assumptions not on there's no actual catch levels that are given or catch limits given in the EIS. What it assumes is that the historical data for these 10 fishers will project what they will do in the future. I don't find that convincing in that they can shift, they can increase their level of effort. We don't know whether they'll do that. And also that, you know, in response to the fact that they will be have an effective monopoly on the legal aquarian fish trade in West Hawaii. They may increase their level of effort. They may shift their level of effort from species from among the various species that they take. So that's one reason. Second, and without going into too much detail, issues mentioned in the GDCS letter, particularly with respect to the role of herbivores in the system, are not adequately covered, and the possible effects of climate change are not completely covered. And finally, the criticisms that appear in the record of the use of this Philippine manual, which provides this 5 to 25% take limit, and especially in combination with the recreational and illegal take, leads me to this conclusion. And finally, that the part of the motion would be that the chair, we delegate to the chair to prepare the final letter denying acceptance to the applicant, using all the reasons contained in this discussion and consistent with this discussion, and also present in the record that we have before us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. I have some comments to add. In addition to the, I agree with many of the statements you made, Chris, in particular, the inadequacy of the description of the project also goes hand in hand with the non-disclosure of the applicants in this particular case. And so that's a troubling lack of information. I agree that there has been insufficient consideration of the cultural impacts and a flawed premise of conclusion of no impact based only on target species population status. There was a lot of a very eloquent statements made by a number of highly respected practitioners and the like that were of West Hawaii that were in the document, and I had a chance to review all of that. And I agree with the statement made earlier that the majority of them had many misgivings and problems with the project as proposed. And then, of course, the third thing is that we received credible testimony today regarding the flawed interpretation of data, the incomplete reporting of available data, and inadequate considerations of cumulative impacts above and beyond the inadequately described project. So I would add those arguments to the rejection.
Thank you. Other board members? Okay, I'll add. I agree with those comments. I think it was a very extensive document and an extensive cultural impact analysis, and I appreciate that. But whether it's adequate for us to inform the department on the impacts of proposed permits, the fact that there are really no limits on the number of fish that can be taken, I think is is very, very challenging. I don't know how you analyze impacts when you don't know how many fish will be taken out. The climate change, the increasing impacts of climate change and their effect on the reef, and in turn the effect of taking out a whole bunch of herbivores, I think is something that really needs much deeper review. And the data on Achilles tang and really all the species of concern. I mean, even one of the items of testimony was that we don't have the data available for a statistical analysis of the impact of removing a certain amount of fish from the reef of species that are very low in numbers already. And that troubles me particularly about Achilles tang. And I just didn't feel like that was adequately documented and analyzed. Are there any other comments, board members? All right, with that, we have a motion to deny the staff submittal recommendation of approval, and a second, and we'll take a vote now. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Aye. And then, Darlene, is Tommy able to join? I'm sorry, I muted you. Darlene?
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Tommy? How do you vote?
Tommy, we have a motion to deny. We have a second and so far six votes in favor of the motion to deny. How do you vote?
Aye.
Darlene? Okay, aye.
Can you hear me?
Aye, there you go. Okay, what? Go ahead.
Aye.
Okay. All right, the motion passes unanimously to deny the staff submittal to approve the acceptability of the environmental impact statement for aquarium fish. Thank you all, that was a very challenging, not only technically, but also lots of issues. I appreciate everyone joining. We're going to move on now in our agenda. The next item up, does anybody need a break? No. Next item up is J1.
Hey. Good afternoon, Chair Case, board members.
Hang on, I just want to make sure everybody's in the room here. Just hang on. I think some people are clearing out here, so. Okay, and if you're not in this agenda item, I'm going to put you back in the waiting room. You're welcome to exit at that point if you need. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon, Chair Case, board members. Ed Underwood, administrator with the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation. We're here today to request the board authorize the termination of boating lease LH-19-002 to Pacific Marine Partners for the purpose of boat storage at the Honokaha Small Boat Harbor. Back in October 25th, 2019, item J2, we came before the board to ask to have the lease assigned to Jason Holby because there were some issues between himself and another partner in the business. The board decided to defer that decision until they could work out their differences. That seems to have happened. So we've been working with basically Jason Holby since then. Currently though, they're $148,000 in the arrears on rent. Monday they did come in and make a payment of $25,000, which gets us to that $148,000 figure. But I'd note that beginning in about a week, there's going to be another $35,000 in rent added to that. So we're getting close to $180,000 in back rent. In addition to the back rent, we also, they have failed to provide us with the financial statements we requested for their facility. There's been improvements installed without permissions, and they've failed to provide the surety bond. This has been since they've come aboard. You know, we have been working closely with them. There are some issues on the way the property was left at the time of the turnover from the previous tenant. We have addressed a lot of those issues. Boating has taken it upon themselves. We spent our own boating special fund money to clear out old derelict boats to make improvements to the facility. But as it stands today, we're still in the arrears on the rent. We don't have a viable plan submitted from them moving forward. So we are requesting to terminate the lease at this time. Our Deputy AG Bill Weinhoff is here if you have any questions on the legality side. And I'm here to answer any questions if you may have any.
Okay, board members, any questions before we hear from the lessee?
Oh, is Mr. Holby here?
Yes, he is.
I saw him on the sign up yes, list, sir. To be on the Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll wait then.
Okay. All right. Mr. Holby or Mr. Vanderveer, do you want to make any statement?
Yes, Chair, I'd like to make a statement if I could.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So aloha, Madam Chair, members of the board, and thank you for this opportunity to testify today. My name is Tim Vanderveer, and I'm an attorney representing petitioner Jonas Ikaika Soliday, who is a 50% owner and managing member of Pacific Marine Partnership. I'd just like to start by asking, in the event that following my testimony today and that of Mr. Holby, if the board issues an adverse decision, that a contested case hearing be conducted.
Okay, let me stop right there. We have to deal with this right now. I'm going to ask our counsel for guidance on whether a contested case is available.
So, you know, Chair and some of you folks that have been around for a while, I'm just going to go back a little bit because we have some new members of the board. The question of whether, so a contested case, we learned, maybe we should have known before, maybe we did know before, but we learned in the Mauna Kea case that when a contested case is asked for, then we just have to stop. And we already had that come up with respect to item F1. And we thought that was a pretty bright line. So we had to stop and determine whether a contested case was going to be granted or not granted. And then so that left the question of, well, you know, why would somebody even ask for a contested case until they know what the decision is going to be? And so we also developed the policy, as Mr. Vanderveer has already alluded to, is very sensibly he'll wait and find out what the board is going to say. And then if he's aggrieved, then he'll ask for a contested case. Just recently, like literally in the last week or something, we had a judge tell us that if somebody was in a contested case, even if they did what Mr. Vanderveer did now and said, I'm going to reserve my rights, we, the board, were nevertheless violating their due process rights by going ahead without determining the contested case. I personally believe that's wrong, but, you know, nevertheless, I have two comments. Number one is I very much respect the fact that a judge, a fellow named Jeffrey Crabtree, who I think is a very bright, smart, respected guy, feels that way. And number two, you know, I know that all of us, and including myself, really want to make sure that we are respecting those due process rights. It's not just that we want to not get in trouble. We really feel strongly that people are entitled to their due process. So, Chair, my recommendation here is that we ask Mr. Vandeveer to be very clear on the record that he is waiving his right to ask for a contested case now, that he specifically wants to hear what the board's decision is going to be, and to the extent that he has any due process rights to do anything else, then he's waiving those rights without waiving his right to ask for a contested case later, and would like us to go ahead. I would also want to say that you know, the fact that we're going this way certainly does not prejudge whether the board is going to give him a contested case later, but that's my suggestion, Chair, and I'm sorry that I took so long to lay it out.
Chair, in light of what the Deputy Attorney General just mentioned, I would be willing to rescind that request and then wait until we have a chance to discuss the issue and until the board has a chance to rule, if it pleases the Chair.
And you feel that you agree that will be an appropriate way of dealing with the due process rights that your client is entitled to and that we respect?
Yes, I do, Mr. Winhoff. If I may proceed.
Well, I think we have to see what the Chair is going to
do. Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, and thank you, Mr. Winhoff, and thank you, Chair. So we come before you today to request that this important matter, the termination of the boating lease number LH-19-002, be stayed through the end of the year, through December 31st, 2020, and that no rent be due to DLNR until 60 days after Governor Ige lifts his ban on gathering and the mandatory visitor quarantine, and after DLNR provides notice to Pacific Marine Partners and Mr. Soliday as 50% managing member. As you are aware, in our written testimony, we acknowledged that PMP was delinquent in rental fees before this pandemic started and before there ever existed a public health crisis. And I think Director Underwood alluded to that there were problems before. But I would also note that these delinquencies are largely the result of a dispute between the two managing members of PMP. And that dispute continues. With all due respect to Mr. Underwood, that dispute is continuing. We are optimistic that it will be resolved. They are currently engaged in alternative dispute resolution, and they're working to resolve those issues. It's important to note, however, as I mentioned, that DLNR has contributed substantially to the challenges of complying with the terms of the lease, including the condition of the property upon the start of the lease. That is, things such as PMP only being able to effectively use 5 of the 9 acres that were leased, the area not being fenced as advertised at auction, the trespass action against the unknown tenant, Hotspot Welding, which is mentioned as well in our testimony. The controversy, which caused various disruptions between DLNR and the former lessee of the parcel, Gentry's Kona Marina, as well as numerous environmental issues discovered before and after the environmental site assessment, including unpermitted septic and dumping that was not the result of the actions of PMP. All the while, DLNR raised the rent by nearly 500%. So we would ask that given, you know, that DLNR either directly or indirectly has impacted this delinquency, as a fairness issue, we would ask that this matter be stayed to allow the lessee to get back on track, to work out their differences and get caught up on the rent. And finally, I just want to note that the April 14th, 2020 notice of termination of the lease, which was sent to PMP and PMP member Ho'opai, was not sent to PMP member Soliday. And he should have been sent a copy of that notice of default pursuant to HRS 171. And I understand that that statute, based upon Governor Ige's proclamation, was suspended. Portions of it was suspended, but given the fact that it was sent to one of the members of PMP, it should have been sent to Petitioner Soliday. But with that, I'll finish my testimony. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions, board members? Yeah, Chris.
Your company continues to collect rent from people who continue to have their boats there, right?
My client does not. It's my understanding that, and perhaps Mr. Ho'opai can elaborate on this, that many of the rents have been impacted since the pandemic, as many of the leases around the state have been.
You said rent was increased 500%. You're being charged exactly the same rent your client agreed to pay at the public auction, correct?
I think I'll let Mr. Ho'opai answer that question, if that's okay.
On the question of notice,
yeah, when
is the lease would have an address to which notice would be sent. Was it sent to that address?
It's our understanding that it was.
It was sent to the address that the lease says it was supposed to be sent to. And
yes.
Finally, well, we've already covered the fact that the rent was overdue October 25, 2019, and has not been cured up to this point. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, board members? All right, we'll move on to Mr. Ho'opai.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you folks today. Mahalo for the chance to be here and talk through this issue. I will start with asking, has the board seen and read the written testimony that I had provided earlier in the week? Is that an item that is before you?
Arlene, can you confirm that?
Yes, it was sent to all the board members. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
The board members.
I'd like to see if the board members had time to read my written testimony and if there's questions on it. Obviously, Mr. Vanderveer and myself are approaching with the same interest to stay the actions against PMP and the ground lease that we're in discussion on for much of the same reasons. Obviously, these underlying issues with the delivery condition did exacerbate relationships and expense what we would have, you know, thought to be unnecessary funds that would have and should have been applied to an operation when they were instead applied to a cured delivery condition. One of the key items I want to point out in my written testimony to the board is that in 2017, when the board had the original discussion of whether this boat park was going to go back out to lease, it came to the discussion of making this a 50% gross over gross rent. And today, you know, it was really clear during that testimony from GKM and the board that it was that there's issues down there at the harbor and at the boat park, both in operations and the ability to go forward with the project. I think fast forward today, the current rents on this parcel are the second highest in the state, right behind the Waikiki Beach Hilton Pier. Yes, absolutely. When I was approved to be at the auction and when I bid and won at the auction, I was anticipating that this high price would come with all of the bells and whistles that you would expect from paying the value of the real estate as we did, as I did. That was very much not the case, and I think began what would be a challenging course to both correct this parcel and the relationship tied to this lease. Some of the key issues here, I think some of the key facts to consider regarding PMP's tenancy in this very short period of time is that the last known rents per month were about $7,800. The rents today are $35,250 for the same parcel, same piece of dirt. The difference is Gentry was operating it with facilities and infrastructure, which we weren't previewed to. They were visible at the time of our review and our auction being won, but the space was not delivered in the point in which it was received in. And so the boat park today, you know, does pay 7x the previously known ground rents. The PMP and myself has paid more in 1.5 years than the last 5 years of previous revenue collected on the same parcel. And one of the key differences is we're collecting more revenue on the same parcel with no services, no electricity, and very little support from what we would expect to be our property management and or the state support mechanism for what we acquired. I think that the issues down at Honokahau Harbor have been festering, for lack of a better word, for many years. And I'm really pointing to all the different issues that have occurred there over, you know, many decades. And I think stepping up to the plate to take on this boat park was no easy task, knowing the history that has occurred down there. And I think making a change was brave but necessary to see change in the community. And it comes with risks, and I understand that these are those risks. The back rents that are represented here by Dobar do unfairly represent the struggle that it took to bring the property up to par from the condition in which it was delivered. I believe that $180,000 back rent amount that we're in discussion of, you know, come within the next week, it represents about 20% of the actual investment that it took to bring the property to where it is today. Today, we've done a lot to resolve issues that could not have previously been resolved by the state. That does include the hotspots, illegal tenancies, and the recognition and awareness of illegal structures, wastewater treatment plants, and other things that I won't go into. You know, these are some of the really key points that I feel like it's critical to understand the positioning, that we didn't just get into a contract and begin going into arrears. We bought something and weren't delivered it. And so what happened is we began to correct the issue to the best of our ability, both internally and utilizing the services of the state and the department. Those fell short. We did have an opportunity to move this ball forward. And I think at that time, last September, these issues had gone on for more than a year, and they had exacerbated a relationship between my minority partner, who, you know, we're now in discussion to resolve those issues. But I think these are the key points that I want to get across in my testimony, and I really want to open up for questions as to whether the board has a chance to understand the issues here and to make humble consideration over our resolve here. Last point is the I think the continuity between management was a challenge, and I don't blame Dobor or my property managers, but I know that as we transition through property management, the continuity of what's going on there for both me as a lessee and the community gets lost. And I think that's part of the challenge in how we're able to get so far down the road without having a resolve today. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Questions, board members?
I have a question, Chair.
Yeah.
Mr. Wolpai, I would like to know, like, moving forward, like we said, you were $7,800 a month, and now you're like $35,000. But moving forward, can you afford to pay this kind of rent?
Yes, we can. If we can be cured the issue, fix the current issues that we're still experiencing, and bring the yard back up to par. We're doing more with less every day. We've integrated the yard with technology that allows us to run the operation with less costs and be more proficient in marketing and essentially doing more with less. We're very good at it. I think we can make it happen if we're given the time and half a chance.
And if I recall, there also said that you had put an unpermitted building up too on the property. Is that correct?
That is one of the claims. I will state that when I moved on to the property, we learned that the only structure was both illegal and illegally occupied by an unknown tenant to Dobor. So, you know, because of that, we were forced to resolve the problem creatively. So I created a shipping container and made it into an office, and it sits on wheels, totally allowable. It's a trailer. And according to the DPP, what we created was a deck, no walls. It's literally just a flat platform, which they categorize as a temporary security landing. So the structure they're concerned and or bringing up as a concern is literally a wooden deck, which we categorize as a temporary security landing. And it just sits out there next to our shipping container, offers shade and the ability for people to see the customers and get eye-to-eye security with the people who come in and out of our yard.
So my last question for now is that when you came on board, the state was supposed to do something, you know, do some work, clean up, get it into a condition that would be acceptable. Apparently they haven't. And then for you to correct what you needed to do to make it an economic driver for you, how much money have you spent, and do you have receipts for that?
There, you know, I don't have all the numbers directly in front of me, but we spent a substantial amount, and a lot of those numbers are with my attorneys, and you know, they're in discussion over what's the resolve there. But yeah, we do have accounted for expenses for the necessary capital expenditures to bring it up to par.
Can I follow up on that, Mr. Hopai? You have a percentage,
yes,
rent provision here, right? So that requires accounting to the DLNR for your income. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you delivered it? Have you delivered any of that information to the DLNR?
Yes, I have. Much of the discussions have been with my attorneys, and I apologize, but we've been in the process of delivering gross receipts. I have the year-end results that went over in a discussion to my attorney, which was intended to be a part of our discussion with the AG's office and your department.
But you haven't,
and so those numbers do exist, and we do have them.
You haven't actually given it to the DLNR.
They should have. I believe they've been delivered. I thought they were delivered, so I apologize if the DOBAR does not have them. They are readily available. We've done all the gross receipts for every month, and I have the year-end statement for 2019 for the gross receipts. All of that has been done well in advance. If Dobor is still missing some of those documents, as it sounds like they may be, I'm happy to coordinate with our attorney or bookkeeper to see exactly where they are from them to you. But I believe we have all those documents.
Could I ask, Ed Underwood, have you received gross income information?
Yes, we do. We have a ledger that we put out. Well, for what we received from them, we do not have their day-to-day books. We've asked for that on numerous occasions. We still don't have any of the documents to show that.
This is regards to the gross receipts, the monthly statement. Is that correct?
Yes.
I know that we've been delivering gross receipts via email.
Well, let me chime in, Chair. I've asked, I've been in contact with the attorney, and I have never received those documents despite having asked for them many times. So the answer to your question is no, I believe. I certainly haven't seen them.
My apologies. I'm sorry about that. I know our gross receipts exist. I sign them every month. So let me make sure that you guys have them.
Any other questions, board members? All right, somebody want to make a motion? Wait, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm muted. I'm sorry, I was muted. I was asking Ed if he had gross receipts for 2019.
We only have what they turn into us for payments. We don't have any documents regarding gross receipts, what they collected, or any type of financial information.
So I think what our friend there is trying to say is no, we don't have gross receipts.
Mr. Holopai, so you know your gross receipts for the year ending 2019 as you sit here? Can you give me that figure?
I can contact my bookkeeper and I'll make sure that I have those numbers shortly. I'll pull it up. It's well into 2019, 2018. I apologize for any miscommunications. We do have that of information available. We're accounted for.
Well, I'm going to make a motion to approve the staff submittal. This came to the board in 7 months ago and we deferred it. You know, that's plenty of time to fix this problem. And if it may be that, I'll leave it at that and entertain any further discussion.
Chair, may I say something, Chair?
Yeah.
So the specific default that is on this agenda, Chris, is failure to pay rent. Ed
yes.
brought up the other defaults, and we have sent a subsequent default. But I want to be very clear, and I really do want to be fair to these guys. The lease provides that they have 60 days to cure defaults. And so their failure to pay rent is not an event of default that the board can or should terminate this lease for. The only one that we presented to the board is the failure to pay rent. So these other items are background, but they're not defaults, they're not legal reason for default, and perhaps Mr. Holpai will be able to cure that particular default by the time that the time to do so runs out.
You mean not submitting gross receipts?
Yes, sir.
The default in front of us is not paying his rent. That's
correct.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yes, sir.
And just so the board is clear on this, there have been a couple of statements about the rent jumping up, you know, 500%. We had this under an RP for $7,800 a month for a long time. We made the correct decision to put it out for auction under a 10-year lease. the upset price being $35,250 a month set by appraisal. Our tenant bid, which they were the only bidder, but they bid the upset amount. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Weinhoff, but we cannot renegotiate the rent.
That's correct, sir. There are, yes, short answer, yes, correct. And there, it, maybe I can give a little background for newer members of the board too. There actually is a Hawaii Supreme Court case on point with respect to auction leases, and the Supreme Court has pointed out to us, a very old case, we haven't made this mistake for many years, but the Supreme Court pointed out that if we were, for example, to change the rent here, then that would really be unfair to people who chose to bid on the lease on the terms that were stated in the lease. And so were we to, you know, somebody might have wanted to bid more if they knew that the terms of the lease were going to be changed in the future. Thank you for asking that, Member Ewan.
So I'm calculating that the rents that were paid are about a third or maybe a quarter of the rent that's due under the lease. And that's going back long before the current COVID situation, is going back to August. We have a motion to approve the staff submittal. Is there a second to that motion?
I second it.
Okay, any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Okay, that's a unanimous vote to approve the staff submittal to terminate the lease. Thank you very much.
Chair, if I may, I'm not sure if this is the right time now, but request a contested case based on the board's decision.
Okay, we'll need to follow up writing within 10 days on your request.
Understood, thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
next
you.
Item.
Thank you, Chair. Hey, okay, Chair. Chair, yeah. I'm sorry that this is just a little housekeeping detail. Those are the items that I was involved with, so I'm going to hang up. And Mr. Morris is still with you. Thank you very much, members of the board. Aloha, nice weekend.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, next up is item K1.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Okay, go ahead. Yep.
Thank you, Chair, board members. Sam Lemo, Office of Conservation Coastal Lands. This is a time extension request for CDUA 3579 for the Honolulu Seawater Air Conditioning Project by Honolulu Seawater Air Conditioning LLC. You'll see from the report, this is their fourth time extension request. This one appears to be primarily due to a issue with easements with the city and the Hawaii Community Development Authority and having to transfer some easements that happened smoothly the first time around. In any case, despite the fact that it's a fourth time extension, this project has a very long history. It's been continually pursued over the past 5 or 10 years. And there's many hoops that need to be crossed on this one. And so I'd like to be able to give them the extra time so that they can execute this excellent project, which is a resiliency project in some ways. It will basically save us a lot of electricity and provide a very efficient and locally sustainable way to
cool ourselves down. So I'm available for any questions you may have. And I think we have the applicant in the waiting room.
Is that Mr. Berg?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the meeting, yeah.
Frederick.
Okay, Mr. Berg, did you want to add anything?
No, I'm just, well, first of all, thank you for hearing this, Chair Case and members of the board. I'm just here to answer any questions if there are any. I think Mr. Lemo did a great job of outlining where we're at and why we're asking for this.
Thank you. Okay, any questions, board members?
I just want to make a comment. I think this has been before us at least, what, third time through fourth extension. But being the fact that it's not any, you're not the holdup, it's the city and county. So I agree that you should get an extension. I agree with staff.
Yeah, I'd like to also make that statement. I've been here from the very first time this came before the board, in my last iteration as a land board member. And I thought it was an exciting project then, and we also realized that it would be full of innovations and necessary permittings and unprecedented relationships developed. So I'm willing to see this one too.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other comments? All right, if not, is there a motion to approve the K1?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Okay, board members, we have a briefing next on the agenda, but it's been a very long day, and I'm going to skip right now the briefing and go to the L&M items. But I would like to get your sense right now. Would you like to defer this number? It's a great disservice to our staff who have been waiting, but on the other hand, we've had some really tough issues to deal with today, and I want to make sure that we're able to give our full attention to the briefing when we have it.
Chair, although the topic is very timely, and I'm very interested in getting an update on climate change work. If the staff is willing to defer this, my brain would probably be fresher if I heard it on a different day.
Okay, let's go ahead and defer it. I really apologize to the staff. You waited all day long to make your presentation and prepared it all this week. And we also really appreciate that you're willing to do these briefings. It's very helpful for our board members. So I'll just ask for your forbearance on our deferral, and we'll take it up at a future meeting. Thank you very much.
Please, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay, next up is L1, 2, and 3. Let's see if we have engineering here. Yeah, there we go. Cardi. I'm going to unmute you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Good afternoon, board. Cardi, division.
Cardi,
there's a little bit of an echo.
Yeah, just a minute. Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have three items on the agenda, L1, L2, L3, and we have...
Sorry, hang on, you're...
There's a slight lag, yeah, in...
Can you turn off, if you have the YouTube on, can you turn it off?
Okay. How's that?
Okay. Try that.
Sorry about that, but Hardy Chang, Chief Engineer, Engineering Division. Good afternoon, Chair, Board Members. We have three items, L1, L2, L3. I can take L1 and L2 at one time, and we have no changes to L1 or L2.
Okay, Board Members, any questions about L1 and L2? If not, is there a motion to approve L1 and 2 as submitted?
Tommy.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, that's unanimous. Okay, L3.
So item L3 is requesting the board to delegate authority to the chair to appoint soil and water conservation district directors. So a little bit of background, each district has five directors. Two are appointed by the board at the recommendation of the district, and three are elected by the land occupiers of the district. And the board has authority to certify those elections. Back in 2015, the board delegated the certification of those elected directors to the chairperson, or actually to the chief engineer. So what we're requesting under this action item is to delegate the appointment of the remaining two directors to the chairperson. These are pretty routine appointments. Each meeting that these directors are appointed are subject to Chapter 92, the Sunshine Rules. So all those meetings that are public, the chair also has the discretion, if delegated, to bring any appointment to the board if she chooses to do that. And this would be, you know, a lot of savings as far as paperwork, time, for something that routinely comes before the board without very much controversy.
Okay. Board members, does anybody have a comment or a question on this? I muted some of you, so if you have one. Okay, seeing none, is there a motion to approve L3?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. That's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Okay, we're moving to the M items.
Chair, Ross Higashi should be the one to be giving for Ross Smith. They're there. Okay. They don't have their video on. There they are.
There.
Are you violating social distancing rules?
You can go ahead.
No, is Mr. Higashi? Okay.
Kevin Lai, I have with me Don Sue. We're with the Department of Transportation, Airports Division. We're here to discuss M1 and to item M4.
Okay. Let me say, board members, do you have any questions on M1 through 4? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve M1 through 4?
Move to.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you very much. That passes. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Last up is M5 and 6.
That's Olivia.
Hi, my name is Olivia Pham, property manager with DOT Harbors. Here to answer any questions about item M5 and M6. And also M5's applicant is also in the session if he wants to make any comments.
Okay. Is that
Dennis Chun? Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Chun, did you want to add anything? Mr. Chun, do you want to make any statement, or are you just here for questions? Okay. let's say he's just here for questions. Okay, board members, any questions? Five through six.
Move to approve number 5 and 6.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, too. That brings us to the end of our agenda today. Thank you to everyone for working our way through it. This was first to ever have live oral testimony remotely on Zoom. And we had our share of technical difficulties, but we were able to get through a very challenging agenda. And I really appreciate everyone's participation on the board and members of the public. Thank you very much and have a great weekend. The meeting is adjourned.
All right. Thank you.
Hello.
Okay, take care.
Hey, Darlene? Is Darlene there?
Wait, let her turn off the YouTube. Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry, yes.
Hey, Darlene, on my hard copies that you sent me, yeah, it didn't have the K agenda, but the Surface tablet did. So, you know, just wanted to point that out.
Okay, thank you. You didn't have C2 either.
What's that?
You guys didn't have C2 because it came later.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Bye now.
Okay, bye.